Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, one of the many features of Reader Views. Hello, I'm Irene Watson, Managing Editor of Reader Views and the host for today. I am so delighted to be speaking to Deborah Schaus. She is the author of award-winning Love in the Land of Dementia, Finding Hope in a Caregiver's Journey. Deborah is a writer, speaker, editor, and creativity catalyst. Her writing has appeared in the Washington Post, Christian Science Monitor, Reader's Digest, Newsweek, Women's Day, Family Circle, Spirituality and Health, Chicago Tribune, and Ms. Deborah is donating all the proceeds from her book, Love in the Land of Dementia, to Alzheimer's programs and research. So far, she has raised more than $14,000. Wow. And Deborah and her partner, Ron Soglin, have performed her writings for Alzheimer's associations and caregivers groups in, now listen to this, United States, New Zealand, Nova Scotia, Puerto Rico, England, Ireland, Italy, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Wow, am I impressed. And so welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Irene. I'm delighted to be talking to you.
Well, I am too. You know, one of the biggest fears, dementia and Alzheimer's, and we don't want to talk about it. We don't even want to look at it because we are so fearful of attracting it into our lives, either ourselves becoming an Alzheimer's patient or also somebody in the family. It's a big fear.
It is a big fear, and it's a growing disease, Irene. 1 in 10 Americans have a family member who has Alzheimer's, and 1 in 3 know someone who has the disease. And for me, I too had that fear when my mother started showing signs of dementia. And through the process with my mother, that fear has actually been reduced because I understand more about the ways you can connect with the person and the gifts they still have to offer, even when they don't have access to their rational mind.
You know, I so agree with that. Last year I had an opportunity to meet with my uncle, whom I hadn't seen for quite a number of years, and he was into his stages of Alzheimer's, and he did not know who I was, but when I told him who my father was, who is his brother, he knew exactly who I was talking about, his birth date, where he was living and everything, but he did not remember that I was the daughter. And when, after talking to him, what I did realize, though, is that he had places in his life that he remembered so vividly. And that's where I went. I had him talk about when he was in the Army.
I think you were so intuitive to do that. One of the things I learned through my mom is just that, to travel to wherever the person with Alzheimer's is and enjoy being there with them. And that way, they aren't feeling frustrated that they can't remember, and you have a chance to hear some amazing stories.
And they're the true stories. They're not made up. These are real-life experiences.
Yes, one of my mom's stories that she repeated again and again was during her time. She served as a nurse in World War II in Iceland. And that she told the stories of skiing around Iceland and stopping to get into hot springs. And that was a story she told again and again. And I was grateful that I heard it and that I wrote it down, because there came a time where she could not tell the story and I still had it captured.
So are these vivid memories that they had because they enjoyed that experience or didn't? Is it, how does this work? Like, why do they remember that but they don't remember other things?
Well, I'm not an expert in that, Irene, so I don't actually know. My understanding is that everybody is just so different about what they remember and why. And I come to this as a caregiver, as somebody who has been through the experience and practiced ways to really appreciate it.
So tell us more about what your book is really about before we go any further.
Well, I started the book, I'm a writer, and so as my mom's behavior became more confusing to me, I started writing down what was happening. First, as just a way to make sense of it to myself. And then what I started noticing is the more I was chronicling what was going on, the more I was noticing and able to appreciate the things that were happening and not just be focused on what I was losing. And so the book is the story of our family's journey with my mom through her Alzheimer's. And there's an emphasis on the gifts and the blessings that I received through this journey. One of the things I wanted to do, and I did it for myself, and then now I want to share it with other people, is reduce some of the fear around the disease. I certainly had it. And my fear was diminished just by being around people who had Alzheimer's and by seeing who they were, who they still were able to be, how they were able to connect, even when they couldn't necessarily talk. And so that's sort of the focus of the book. I've had caregivers tell me that after they've read some of the stories, they've been able to look at their parent or the person they love who has Alzheimer's in a new way and to approach their caregiving in a new way. And I've had other caregivers whose loved ones have passed on tell me that it has been a very healing process for them to relive all those moments. There's a lot of similarities in everyone's journey, and to have a sense of catharsis and healing.
Wow. So tell us some of the blessings that you did get from this journey, the experience that you had with your mother.
One of the things that happened with my mom was a judgmental person, and that judgment melted away, and she had already a good sense of humor. You just couldn't be around my father without having a good sense of humor. But her playful side came out. And so many times when I was with her, she was able to look at me even after a very frustrating time. One of the stories is about taking her out to lunch and her not eating and me not being able to get her back into the car, and spending probably 10 minutes in a hot parking lot trying to help my mother sit down in a car. And yet when we got back to the nursing home and I was waiting for my father to go get a wheelchair, I was sitting with my mother, holding her hand. She still couldn't get out of the car once I'd gotten her in. And she looked at me right in my eyes and said, "You're wonderful." It's
wow.
Wonderful. Isn't this wonderful?
Wow.
And she said it with such a spirit and a lift in her voice. And I just thought, she's right. And so there was that wisdom that came through and a chance to look into my mother's eyes. I had many times where she couldn't complete a coherent sentence deeper into her Alzheimer's, but she would look into my eyes. We would gaze into each other's eyes for 15, 20 minutes. I had never done that in my ordinary life with my mother. And for those people who have gazed into somebody's eyes, it's quite a profound and spiritual experience. So I think those are some of the things I learned. And just the fact that love remains even after the rational part of the mind has changed, and that there are always ways to connect with people if you're willing to be flexible, and as you just said, Irene, to go to where they are.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought when you mentioned looking in to your mother's eyes for so long, and I just sat here listening to you with goosebumps, and just thinking of the adage of, you know, looking into the windows of her, the eyes being the windows of her soul.
Yeah.
And so you just went into this spiritual being and saw what was really there and not the actions that she was having that were beyond her control.
That's right. That's right. And I feel really blessed that I got to do that. When we were speaking in Italy, one of the priests who introduced us said, "The person with Alzheimer's is the pupil in God's eye." I thought that was so beautiful. And he went on to say that it is not only our responsibility, it is our joy to care for and about them. And you know, not every moment is joyful, of course, but there is a joy in getting to have those connections.
How did you feel when you first got the diagnosis that your mother was going into the stages of Alzheimer's? What did you personally go through?
Well, I was sad and I was scared. And it was a mixture of worry about my mother and my father, and then worry about myself. And you mentioned early on that fear that so many of us have about losing our minds. And when my mother was, you know, a younger woman, she had said, well, just kill me if I ever lose my mind.
And so many of us have said that.
Yes. And so that came into my mind, and the fear of the losses we might be experiencing. And then one of the things that started happening to me, my parents were then living in Memphis, and whenever I would go visit them, I would always lose something important. And then I would think, oh my gosh, this is happening to me. Well, it was fear and stress that was causing me to lose things, but there was that period of just feeling sort of overwhelmed by what does this mean and how am I going to help my mom and my dad go through this. And my dad was really, once he went through a period where he was really angry with my mom because he didn't understand her behavior. Once he understood it, he was a very loving husband. And he was a great role model for really caring for and really honoring my mom, even when she wasn't, you know, making sense, even when she was saying the same thing over and over again. He always treated her with love and dignity, and he was a model for me in doing the same.
Was your father able to talk about his feelings of what was really going on with him? I understand that in your book you do say that he was putting on quite a front.
Yes. Well, he only talked about them when he didn't have any choice, when he was so sad. He would sometimes, you know, cry, but he didn't like to talk about his feelings. And occasionally he would. He got very depressed and sad. And one of the gifts that happened for me is this deep relationship that my dad and I developed that had an emotional basis to it around caring for my mom, because my mom had been the emotional conduit in our family. And now she wasn't playing that role, so my dad and I had a really deep connection, and I was very grateful for that.
Oh, I can well imagine. As we grow up, we have a tendency to go away from our parents because, as you know, they're not as smart as we are, and then there's a time that we actually do come back, and there's that connection that really does happen, and I'm hearing that that has happened with you.
Yes.
I'm also hearing that there are grief stages, because you said your father went through, the initial stage was anger.
Yes.
And so obviously he thought, this is a loss, this is a big loss, a partner that he had had for a long time.
Yes, it was a huge loss for him. And in fact, my father died before my mother, which surprised me, but at that point my mom was in an Alzheimer's unit, and one of the nurse aides said, your father died of a broken heart. And he had a heart attack.
Oh.
And died. And he had a beautiful death. He was playing pool by himself at the retirement home where he lived, which he liked to do, and he had a heart attack, and he died instantly. And he is a very independent person, and that was a death, I think, he would really appreciate. And so, but I think it was, towards the end, I really was able to stay connected with my mom, and I think it would have really bothered my dad as my mom moved into her last stages of life, and it didn't bother me as much. So I think, even though initially I was shocked and, of course, very sad that he died, I think it was the right thing to happen in our family. I think he'd had as much as he could.
You know, I so agree, and it's interesting that one of the staff members had said that he had died of a broken heart, which is probably, there's so much truth to it, because I'm sure it was very devastating for him. I mean, how long had your parents been married?
Oh, well, they had been married no more than 50 years.
There you go.
Yeah, they had a long, great relationship together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and we were just so lucky. We cared for my mom for a while, and then we just couldn't do it. So we felt so grateful that there was an Alzheimer's unit. They had a lovely, caring staff there, and we had a new family, essentially, in that unit with the other residents of the unit, their families, and the staff.
So in the beginning stages, then she was at home, of course, and then did you actually look after her at any point?
Well, my mom and dad always lived together, so I, you know, helped them in their home. They moved up to live near me in Kansas City and lived in a retirement community, and then there came a time where just having my mom in the my mom was a danger in the home. She was wandering. She was, a lot of stuff was going on. So we both felt to keep her safe, she needed to be in a more guarded setting.
Of course.
And that was a big, hard decision, but it was definitely the right decision.
It sure sounds like it. And for everybody concerned.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We had lots of help and support from the Alzheimer's Association here in Kansas City. And then in the end, we had help and support from hospice. Yep. And one thing I learned from one of my friends who also had a family member in the Alzheimer's unit is that hospice can help when people are in the later stages of Alzheimer's. And that was a phenomenal, a boost for me and for my mom.
You know, I understand that hospice are so great, and they have trained people that are so caring and loving, not only towards the patient, but also towards the family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for me, my dad and I had been visiting my mom every day. When my dad died, I couldn't do that with work. And so I was really looking around for how I wanted my mom to have the same level of attention she was getting. Hospice really helped with that a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Deborah, you travel the world and perform your writings. You talk about Alzheimer's to groups. What inspired you to do that?
Well, as I started writing these stories, I decided I just wanted to read one to a group of people just to see what it would be like. And actually started at a literary reading because I write fiction and other things. And even when I told Ron I wanted to do that, he said, well, who wants to hear a story about Alzheimer's? And I said, I don't know, but I want to read one. So I read several stories. One was a story about Alzheimer's. And afterwards, so many people came up to me and said, my aunt has Alzheimer's, my mother, my this. Some of them were people I knew. Some of them were just strangers. They all wanted to talk about Alzheimer's. And so that helped me understand this is something that the emotional and spiritual part of the journey, often people don't get to talk about. We hear the physical facts, and those are difficult to hear. And sometimes when we perform, we're the warm-up act for somebody who's going to be talking about the physical aspects of Alzheimer's. And we are there to help people understand the gifts and blessings and the spiritual and emotional journey involved. When we started doing traveling, we just decided wherever we went, we wanted to try to hook up with an Alzheimer's Association or caregivers group and share our stories. And that's what we've been doing. And we're doing it in the States as well, speaking for conferences, caregivers conferences, or churches, or people who have an interest in this and want some hope added in to the mix of this disease.
That is such a gift you're giving people, because as we talked earlier, it's such a big fear. Dementia and Alzheimer's is such a huge fear that we're afraid that we're going to get it. But giving this opportunity to have people listen to your stories and also the opportunity for them to be able to express their feelings is such a gift.
Thank you.
Your mission is just wonderful.
And the stories go ahead.
I
was going to just say the stories are a great catalyst, because a lot of times we'll do a performance and then we'll have someone from the Alzheimer's Association there with us, and we'll have either questions and answers or information sharing. And it is a great time to let people share their stories or ask the questions they've been wanting to ask.
It's also a feeling that knowing that you're not alone.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I think it is hard to be a caregiver of any kind. And so to know that there are people you can talk to and to share your story so that first you don't feel isolated and second people can understand what you're going through. I think it's very healing for everyone.
Of course. And what I'm also hearing is that you have had a lot of healing yourself. However, I'm sure it must have been quite a roller coaster in the beginning stages for you. So tell us about what your support group was like or how you were able to cope with the roller coasters.
Well, that's a great question. I have my life partner, Ron, was very, very supportive. And my brother, even though he was far away at that time, he also was, I always felt like he was totally there for me and part of our team. And friends, too. And so part of it was through a combination of writing, and I find that journaling was just so helpful for me, and then trying to take care of myself as best I could, and then talking about what I was going through. And then later on, we did connect with the Alzheimer's Association, and they were exceedingly helpful as well.
That's great. And you saying these things in our listening audience, and take your points also and use them for themselves, because I'm sure that anybody that has any connection with Alzheimer's is just really going on all kinds of roller coasters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Deborah, thecreativityconnection.com
yes.
is your website, and there's all kinds of stuff on it. I'm looking at it right now, and visitors can just browse around. But what I really want to talk about is your research, the money that you're raising to go towards the programs and research for Alzheimer's.
Yes. What we decided early on is that all proceeds we get from the book would be donated to Alzheimer's programs and research. And so when people buy the book from us or from an Alzheimer's Association, they just write a check directly out to the Alzheimer's Association. So it's tax deductible. And our association here will even mail books free of charge to people so they can, simply call them if they'd like a book and get a full tax deduction for what they'd like to donate. And our price range is $15 to $100. More is welcome, of course. And then the book is also on Amazon and in the bookstores. So that has been just very rewarding for us to be not only sharing the stories but also helping the Alzheimer's and other associations who are working with us with their cause.
That is such a good cause, and that is so gracious of you to be donate all the proceeds to the Alzheimer's Association. And really, it's not even passing through you. You're actually giving the book to the reader, and they make the donation directly to the Alzheimer's Association.
That's right.
How wonderful is that? And you do have a telephone number where they can call you.
Yes.
And to receive a book and make a donation, would you like to give that to our audience?
Yes, and that's the phone number for the Heart of America Alzheimer's Association here in Kansas City. And it's 913-831-3888. Let me make sure I got that right.
931-831-3888.
Yes, I did get it right. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes. And so they can phone directly, make their donation, and receive a book.
That's right.
So it doesn't even have to go through you.
That's correct.
Oh, wow. Well, gosh, we've run out of time, Deborah, and I just feel like I have so many more questions, and I'm sure that our listening audience does too. So I encourage everybody to go to your website, thecreativityconnection.com. I didn't stumble on that one.
Great, yes.
And visit with you and read more about the book. More about you and what you are doing, probably even be in an area of where you're going to be doing the next production.
That's right. We'd love to hear from people, and we are, always looking for meaningful places to come present our stories and speak. So we'd love to connect with anyone who's interested in this topic.
Oh, that's great, Deborah. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us and giving us such a delightful insight into your book and also your life and your feelings and what you had gone through. And at this time, I'd like to remind our listening audience that you can link from Deborah's author's page on Inside Scoop Live or the book review on Reader Views to purchase the book either through Amazon, through our links, or actually go directly to 913-831-3888 and purchase the book and make a donation at the same time. I'm your host, Irene Watson. Thank you for listening and supporting Deborah, author of
Love in the Land of Dementia, Finding Hope in the Caregiver's Journey.
There we go. Thank you very much. And I invite you to check out our other interviews and listen in. Bye for now.